listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Forget the worries, throw your problems away. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Throw your smiles, throw your smiles, throw your smile down. Let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. Let's celebrate.
One of my favorite parts of the Village Celebration is the Village Verse. And tonight our guest minister is Reverend Arthur Hunt, who is the senior pastor of Hunt Memorial Faith Cathedral. Reverend Hunt, thank you for joining us.
It's a joy to be with you.
We're focusing tonight on the 10-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and you have friends who survived the hurricane. How were you able to encourage them?
Well, God is in control of everything and everybody. And so when you think about God, who is in control of the earth, the water, the wind, the fire, everything that moves, it's under his sovereign dictate. And so you have to ask the question, is this the same God that was with Noah when he destroyed the earth? And so God is in the midst. So you let people know that God is at work, and to pray for wisdom and understanding for what he's doing in that moment, now reflecting 10 years later.
Is there a particular verse that you can point people to as they reflect on the devastation of Hurricane Katrina?
Well, you think about rebuilding, you have to think about the Old Testament leader Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a great builder who understood that the walls that were built in his father's day had been torn down, demolished. And so he had to have a confidence and a commitment to legacy. And so he used his confidence in God and his commitment to legacy. And a record in chapter 4, verse 6, Nehemiah says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." And so when you look at opportunities, if the people are united and they have a mind to do the work of God, then whatever God wants to bring a refresher, if he's the God of Noah, he's the God of today, 10 years ago. So if he built it, it can be rebuilt. And sometimes God wants something better. And he uses a now generation to bring about a new, a fresh update in the kingdom. And so Nehemiah, we attach ourselves to how he was a builder. And so in New Orleans or wherever we are, if God wants to update a testimony, if it's your life, if it's your mind, if it's your body, if it's your community, if it was built before, it can be built again. And so that's a Nehemiah attitude.
And that is timeless as well.
Oh, yes.
Whether it's a 10-year anniversary, a 20-year anniversary, and like you point out, whether it's your personal testimony, God can do a new thing.
Well, builders keep on building. That's a continuum. See, the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. God doesn't change the fact that if he said, let there be, and then there was, then there's always a let there be, and then there is moment. And so what is God building, rebuilding, in today's generation? And so we have to stay open for those moments as Nehemiah. And his final decree was, he was focused on the work. He was not going to come down until the work was complete. And that's the mind of the visionary and the mind of the builders.
That is a wonderful, encouraging word. whether you are from New Orleans or any other place around the country. That is encouraging because so many of our communities are in a rebuilding phase, whether it's from a natural disaster or just an economic setback. So many African American communities are rebuilding.
Mm-hmm. Well, God always has a now moment, and he always wants to do something fresh because he's not convalesced. He's not a God of yesterday only. He's not in a museum. He's a God that is creating. He's recreating. He's making himself known in fresh ways. So we have to just take this attitude of being a builder, being visionary, being innovative. And, you know, there's never a shortage with God. He just needs someone to believe that the God who says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world, and everything and everybody herein. So we just want to remain useful so that whatever he wants to bring into the world, from faith invisible to visible, because we can see in our faith eyes that is real. If we can take that stride, it will come to pass.
Reverend Arthur Hunt, we appreciate you joining us during our special edition of the Village Celebration.
It's a joy. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resorts golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state park, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And keep Arkansas beautiful.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say,
good evening and welcome back to the Village Celebration. It is time for a checkup from our favorite doctor, our village doctor, Dr. Diane. Good evening, Dr. Dye.
Good evening, Vicki. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. We missed talking to you the past couple of weeks. It's time for back to school. Some kids are already back immunized, we hope, for everyone. Tell us, what are the immunizations most students need?
Well, most students will need to get back in school in most of the states at minimum two doses of the chickenpox vaccine. The first dose generally is given to them as an infant, usually prior to 2 years of age, and then you get the second dose between 4 and 6. Some kids have not had varicella vaccine, so we do recommend at least two doses of that, particularly if the child has not had chickenpox at all. Okay?
And that's very important.
Very, very important. You know, most people don't think that chickenpox can cause anything serious. But if bad enough, you can be left with serious skin infections. Some kids get pneumonia from it, and you can even die from it. So we don't want to take chickenpox lightly. If children have not been immunized, we do advise that they get it.
Dr. Dye, what I find really interesting is that parents, of course, are concerned about their children being immunized, but there are also adult immunizations.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need as grown-ups?
The most important vaccines that we need, there are several, but some of the most important ones are going to be every year getting the flu shot. Flu vaccine will help prevent against the flu. Now, what I hear a lot, my patients come in and say, well, I'm not going to get the flu shot because it's going to give me the flu. Be assured, you cannot get the flu from a flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. We use a dead virus in the flu shot, so there's no way you can get it. You might have very mild flu-like symptoms, runny nose, a little irritation at the site of the vaccine, possibly low-grade fever, but you're not going to get the flu. And flu, believe it or not, will cause pneumonia. You could end up in the ICU. Mm-hmm. You could die from it. We've seen young people die from complications of the flu. So every single year, get a flu shot because the flu does change. There's a different antigen in every shot. It changes year to year. So you have to get one every year, no matter if you had one the year before.
Is it too early to get your flu shot?
It is a little early right now. Most of the flu shots won't be in doctor's offices until September. So start finding out from your primary care doctor whether or not they have the flu vaccine and when they'll be available. The other thing is that if your physician doesn't have them, most of the local drugstores now carry them. You can get a flu shot at most of the Walgreens locations, CVS, Walmart. Lots of places now offer the flu vaccine, so you may want to check early. Now's the time to start checking to see when they will be available.
You know, last time I had a flu shot, I didn't get one last year, but the year before, I did get my flu shot at Walgreens while I was shopping for mascara, so you can...
And it was easy.
It was
very easy.
You're in
and out, you got your flu shot, so you're protected. You're protected. The next thing that, you know, most adults need is the pneumonia shot, particularly adults who are 65 and older. Now, there are some cases where adults get the pneumonia shot prior to age 65, and usually they have some other type of chronic disease. But typically, you need at least, at minimum, one pneumonia shot. And now the CDC is even saying some people need two. You have to talk to your physician to find out whether or not you need two, but you need a pneumonia shot at least twice in your lifetime after the age of 65. And once you have these two vaccines, you're good for life. You should be protected.
Okay.
And of course, pneumonia, having pneumonia is very, very dangerous, particularly in our elderly patients.
And what else? Is there anything else?
Say it again, Vicki.
Is there anything else? Once we have our flu shot, our pneumonia shot, what else do we as grown-ups need? Because we rarely hear anyone talk about immunizations for grown folk beyond the flu shot.
Oh. Big mistake for us, and we are terrible, I must admit. Some of us, as primary care doctors, we need to do a better job of making sure that we let our patients know. I think we get so busy in our day-to-day taking care of the patient's other needs that sometimes we, too, slip up and not let them know about the vaccines for adults. But one of the other ones that's very, very particularly important to me is the shingles vaccine.
Okay. Okay.
The shingles vaccine is usually given to patients 60 and older. And the reason you want to give them the shingles vaccine is because shingles is such a painful disease. It usually is caused by the chickenpox virus. Typically, patients who've had chickenpox at an earlier age, that virus tends to live in some of the nerve roots. And so it can reactivate, and it causes a very, very painful area of blisters. And patients really suffer with shingles, and they can get a recurrence. So we typically say at 60 years of old, 60 years age of, or older, get a shingles vaccine. And even if you've already had an outbreak of shingles, still get vaccinated. It will help reduce your chances of recurrence.
So now we have come full circle. We started with the chickenpox when we were children and getting those two doses, and now here we are older age, and the chickenpox vaccine is still lingering, causing shingles. That's a pretty serious virus, that chickenpox.
It's a very, very serious virus, and you want we want to make sure that, you know, elderly patients are protected and immunized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has a long shelf life, it seems. The vaccine.
So to speak.
All right.
And one of the other things, too, that I like to tell my adults is that look to see when you had your last tetanus shot. What we're advising now in adults, because we've seen the whooping cough kind of wax and wane and make its way back. And so if you haven't had a second dose or an adult dose of what we call Tdap, that means tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, you need at least a dose of that as an adult. And then you can do your just your regular tetanus shot every 10 years. So kind of figure out where you are on that immunization schedule. Certainly, this is not all-inclusive. These are the bigger ones or the major ones that I want adults to understand that they need to be inquiring about when they see their primary care physician.
Well, I think you've certainly raised our level of awareness, because I'm not sure that many of us grown-ups, adults, actually know we need immunizations. We think once we're past first or second grade, that's pretty much the end of the vaccination route. But thank you so much, Dr. Dye, for joining us, and we will get the flu shot and all the others that we need.
And then have your kids check with their primary care doctor to see what other vaccines they may need before school starts.
Sounds like a trip to the doctor for everyone in the household. Dr. Dye, thank you.
Absolutely, Vicki.
We'll talk with you next week.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll be right back, so stay with us.
I remember the moment.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We were responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association,
and keep Arkansas beautiful.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with the vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Everybody, let's celebrate.
We're joined tonight in the Village by Ron Busby, who is the president of the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce. And he has some good news and I think a bit of a call to action for those of us who are interested in supporting African-American businesses. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really exciting time for African-American business owners, especially as it relates to the automobile industry. And so we're excited to be on the air with you to talk about what we've just initiated with the National Association of Minority Automobile Dealers, better known as NAMAD, black organization representing African-American and minority automobile dealers. The interesting and the reason that we did what we did is because this year, 2015, there will be more than $24 billion spent by African Americans on new car purchases.
Okay, so hold on right there. How many billions?
$26 billion will be spent in 2015 by African Americans on new vehicles in the United States.
And so...
And that is a huge number.
Absolutely.
And as an organization, our agenda is really about making sure that we are conscientious consumers, as well as making sure that our businesses have the resources that they need. Our number one concern in our community as a national organization is to make sure that our dollar is circulating more in our community. As I've stated on your show before, the average Asian dollar stays within the community 28 days, Hispanic dollar stays in their community 21 days, and in our community it stays there less than 6 hours.
You know, I still shake my head every time I hear that. It stays in our community less than 6 hours. That is an outrage. Okay, so this is one way we can help keep the dollars in our community by supporting an African-American dealership. So how do we find one?
Great question. If you go to our website, usblackchambers.org, by the end of the week, we will have all of the minority and black-owned automobile dealers, new dealers, listed on our site. We think that's a way that we can at least determine where they are, and then we can start talking about what to do. If we can at least educate our folk, then, as we say in our communities, if you know better, then you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not only about new car dealers, but it's about how much money are they spending with us.
Mm-hmm.
Are they advertising with us? Are they allowing us to clean their facilities? Are they buying products and or services from African Americans? And what we have found is it's a huge disparity. We are spending money to the tune of, as I stated, $26 billion, and we're getting very little of that money reinvested in our communities. If you look at the number of dealers that are now owned by African Americans, we have fewer black-owned and minority-owned dealerships now than we have ever had.
And can we explain that? Can we?
At the same time that we have had more African Americans and minorities purchasing vehicles, and just at a driver's age. And so we feel like at our organization, we have to change this, and this is one area we can have an impact.
So let me ask you this. If there are fewer dealerships now than before, what has happened?
Part of it was the recession. When the recession happened, many of the African-American dealers were forced to close. If you remember when the automobile industry was hit, where the president was able to come back and help the industry, still at the same time, it wasn't equitable, and many of our dealers didn't get some of the same
benefits
and advantages that some of the majority dealers were able to get. Access to capital is a big concern. To be able to own and operate a car dealership takes a lot of money, a lot of investment, and many of just did not have access to the capital to stay afloat, as well as continue to grow. And so what you found is many of our dealerships were being sold off. Many of them were second-generation dealerships that weren't able to make it through the tough times. And so we have far fewer numbers of dealerships that are owned by minorities today than we ever had before. But we really look at it as a way of saying, okay, well, how can we change this trend? Because there is so much money being spent, we just feel like this is an opportunity for our community to rebound because we do spend so much money.
You know, recently, one of the most prominent African-American car dealers passed away, Mel Farr, in Detroit.
Yes.
And he was one of the first to own a number of dealerships. For the people who are interested in owning dealerships, where do they go for information?
That's a great question. We, at that event, the National Association of Minority Automobile Dealers, they are there to help with new ownership possibilities. Since our School of Chamber and Business Management that happened 3 weeks ago, we've now been contacted by General Motors, Chrysler, Mercedes-Benz, and Hyundai to discuss a new aggressive minority dealership program to be run through the U.S. Black Chamber or in conjunction with the U.S. Black Chamber to ensure that we have programs and the acumen to not just start dealerships, but to have sustainability and long-term success.
Absolutely.
The other thing that many of us don't take into consideration is that when we get our cars serviced, when we go and buy parts for our vehicles, those are all related to the automobile industry. And these are all things in which we can make sure that we're making good decisions on who we choose to provide and where we're spending our money.
$26 billion is an awful lot of money on the table for
an awful lot
our community.
And
SUVs and compact cars. It's a lot of money on the table for our community not to have a respectable portion of it. So we've heard the call to action, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us. I want to say two things. When your viewers and listeners are choosing organizations to support, make sure they look for their local black chambers. Also look for us on our website, www.usblackchamber.org, and download our mobile app where we have over 40,000 black-owned businesses where you can find a black business to spend that dollar so that we can increase our own communities through an economic agenda.
And bottom line, we want a dollar in our community to stay in our community longer than 6 hours. Longer
Amen.
Than 6 hours. Ron Busby from the U.S. Black Chambers, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Village Celebration.
From the Ozark Mountains to Old Man River, Arkansas's 52 state parks belong to all of us to experience, to enjoy, to remember.
Our family stayed in the Mountain Lodge at Pettigean for the holiday, and no one had to cook. We ate in the lodge. Oh, the view over the canyon. Oh, and those huge fireplaces. Oh, the chocolate pies.
I remember going to the lodge on the Gray Lake. The park naturalist took us out on a boat, but we'd never seen an eagle in the wild before, and we saw five that day.
The cabin at Devil's Den when it snowed. We went hiking. It was so beautiful. And then we found that journal in the cabin, and we sat by the fire and read stories that the other guest had written. I'll never forget that.
The State Parks of Arkansas. Call 1-888-AT-PARKS for a free guidebook or visit ArkansasStateParks.com. Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back. back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's special edition of the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. We're glad you're with us tonight as we look back 10 years at the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. 10 years ago, thousands of Americans who lived in New Orleans had their lives devastated by one of the worst hurricanes on record. We're joined tonight in the studio by Kim Cartridge, who survived Hurricane Katrina, was relocated like so many others, and has somehow managed to create a new life. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
Let's go back 10 years.
Okay.
Are you able to separate the days? Because just watching on TV, it seemed like just unbelievable chaos and destruction.
Well, that it was. As I was mentioning earlier, I cannot give you the dates. I don't even know the date when Katrina hit. I just have to go by just the days that I experienced. I can't tell you what day it was, but just what my experience was.
So let's say you're sitting in your home.
Okay.
And it starts raining. You're hearing all of the forecast. The storm is on the way. And what are you thinking?
Well, you know, we had the talk about leaving, not leaving. But prior to that, we had a couple of storms came back and forth. And we just couldn't afford to do this again. Packing up rental cars and leaving out. So this time, okay, we're going to go ahead and just
ride it out.
Luckily, my mother, who was wheelchair bound, she was in the hospital. So we felt kind of safer. And anything happened, we knew that she was good. Mm-hmm. So her room was on the first level. Our bedrooms was upstairs. And my house was the only two-story house in the area, thank God. So, yeah, the winds and the rain, and we went through that. Okay, it's not that bad. And we went, a little drip from the roof. Okay, this is not so bad. And did everything seem to calm down? And all of a sudden, I went to my back door where I had my daughter stood in a back apartment, and we had the pool. We didn't have no water in the pool at that time, but when the hurricane came, I was full to the top. I couldn't see the half of the door in my daughter's apartment. Water coming into the kitchen. I said, wow, okay. Right. So I went back to the front to let my family know, okay, you know, it looked like
the
it's kind
of bad.
The
water's rising. Mm-hmm.
So in my mother's bedroom where my now husband, ex-husband, he boarded up all the windows. But the water was so, I'm going to say, vicious, it broke through the wood that he nailed it up with and just gushed. Thank God, Vicki, my mother was in the hospital because the water came into the room where she slept. So we had to go upstairs, and we watched the water creep up the stairs, and I prayed, please just don't let it go. So we went to the windows upstairs, and we looked out the window. And when I look out the window, it was unbelievable. It seemed like somebody picked up our house and put it in the middle of the lake. Mm. I didn't see the neighbors' homes. Mm. I said, I don't think my kids should come see this.
Right.
Because, you know, it's freaking me out. And he looked and, okay. So we watched the water creep up the stairs. And thank God it never made it upstairs. So after maybe 2 days in the house with no lights.
So you guys were in the house
we was
with
in
the
house.
Water up
downstairs,
the staircase.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Yeah.
You're upstairs.
We're upstairs. And we're looking out the window. We hear our neighbors screaming. You know, the little that we could see, in my bedroom, I had a balcony. So we unlocked the balcony. He took all the wooden stuff out where he nailed it so we could go on the balcony to actually view our neighborhood. And like I said, we was the only two-story house.
So your neighbors, do you know what happened to them?
No. Neighbors crossed the street. I can see maybe the tip of their roof. But the neighbor down the street, who I always was seeing, he would never ever speak, he got with another guy with a boat. And that's who got us from out of our house.
And you guys had never spoken.
We never spoken.
But this tragedy brought
this
you together.
Brought him. Actually, he said he was in the house and he heard somebody. I need help. I need men to come out and help. Mm. And he was sitting there like, oh, please, no. I don't want to be the hero today. But his conscience made him go out. And he got on the boat with this other guy. And the first person they came took out of my house was Ida, my daughter. Mm-hmm. And my two grandchildren, which was 5 and 2 at the time.
And how did you decide who would go first?
Oh, my babies. Bring my babies to safety. And of course, if you're bringing the babies, you have to bring their mother. Now, mind you, we didn't know these people. We know the gentleman that was our neighbor. So when they took my daughter and my grandchildren and we watched them rowing in a boat up Majestic Oaks. That's the street. It was on Majestic Oaks and Dwyer. And they got out of our sight. We waited maybe an hour or two. And my son said, well, mother, you think they've been going too long? So that worried me. That jumped in my mind. God, where did they bring my daughter?
And will I ever see her again?
And will I ever see her again? So I walked around with this Bible, and I walked with the Bible. I never opened up the Bible. I just walked with it. I said, okay, son, if they don't be back here another 10, 15 minutes, we going out there. So the person I was with at the time, he used to work offshore. So I took his swimming vest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, to keep me afloat. And my son said, well, Mama, I just hold on to you. And we're going to find, he said, I'm going to find my sister. So as we contemplating doing this, here they come back with the boat to get the rest of us. So they got everybody except my son and my brother. And they actually stood there the next day, but they went back for them.
So everyone eventually was evacuated.
Yes. Out of my home, yes.
When we come back, we'll talk about where you went once you were evacuated. Stay with us. You're listening to The Village Celebration. listening to a special edition of the Village Celebration. Tonight it's dedicated to the survivors of Hurricane Katrina as we observe the 10-year anniversary of that devastating storm. Our guest tonight is Kim Cartridge, a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. Before we went to break, we were talking about how you and your family were evacuated by a neighbor who had a boat. And all of us saw the pictures of New Orleans residents being Is that the right word?
Evacuated or...
Is it New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Okay, we'll start over. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. If you're just joining us, you're listening to a special edition of the Village Celebration. Our guest tonight is Kim Cartridge, who is a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. Before we went to break, Kim, you were talking about the time it took for your family to be evacuated and how you all watched the water rise.
Yes.
And eventually, all of you were rescued. Where did you go?
We went to a vacant motel, the Family Inn, that was on Chef Highway and Majestic Oaks. And, of course, they closed the motel, the hotel, because they also
had
evacuated
families.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people took refuge there. So when we rolled up in the boat, we actually had a team of people like waiting for us. It was like they had it all arranged. Whoever came up, they took them and they took care of them. Because when my daughter got there, when the guy came back, where's my daughter? She's good. We put her in a room. She got diapers. She got everything she needs for the baby. Whoever was there, they collected things. They gave it to your daughter. Great. So when we got there, a lot of people was there. They did have like barbecue grills and it was cooking and it was feeding everybody.
Let me ask you, were you all hungry?
At that time, really, food wasn't on our mind. It really wasn't. It was just like we was like in a dream, just
you
going
were numb.
Along with the dream. Numb, just going along with the motion. But even though it was bittersweet, because it showed me that as a community in that area, we came together, because everybody that was placed at the Family Inn that was rescued by a neighbor or whomever that was brought to Family Inn, we were taken care of by each other. So when they sailed off with another boat to go help somebody, when they came back, I joined the women and we took them, and you know, I had my brother's medication. Some people was diabetic. Yes, I did use some of my brother's insulin to help those who did not have it. And that's what we had to do.
You just pulled together.
We pulled together. And we slept out there. My daughter was in the room. We was actually on the curb in the driveway of the motel. We pull
did
out.
Did you all sleep out there?
Yeah.
You slept on the curb.
In the parking lot of the
motel.
In
the parking lot. For how many nights?
We stood there maybe 2 nights, because we trying to figure out who was going to come, what to do. And then we heard that there was some buses that was going to come pick us up on Chef Highway. So the stuff that we collected and got, now mind you, we're in our clothes that we left the house with. I had on shorts and a red tank
top. So you haven't changed clothes
in
days?
No. We in our clothes where we left the house with. So we got on the truck, this truck that came pick us up. It was like a food truck that you will deliver groceries in. And they haul us in there. I'm going to say like a bunch of cattle. And we drove from Chef Highway, took the interstate, and went to the convention center.
Do you know how many days you stayed at the convention center?
You know, I've been... my best guess is maybe about 3-4 days.
And
it seemed like more days. I know the night before, I knew I could not withstand another night. I knew that. I knew something tragically was going to happen, other than what was going on around us. I didn't think I was going to survive it, me, myself, because I can feel myself actually breaking down. I watched my daughter go into convulsions. Mm. My daughter Ida, from not having anything to drink, nothing to eat. And had a group of people come around her and pray. You know, I had to walk the convention center to go see my brother who was in another section. And as I walked maybe from section D to section A, we had to pass a lot of dead bodies. And at that point, it was like, okay.
You know, just didn't seem real.
No.
How do you process that?
I can't.
Even 10 years later.
I can't. And people say, let it go. You safe. You know, you blessed. Yes, I am tremendously blessed. I know I am. I'm a survivor. Because not a lot of people made it. I have seen the dead bodies, young and old. But I can't process it because I say, here in America, no. I know you're going to have casualties. I know that. And that's not the problem. Is that we didn't get no help. And in a faster way. I don't want to get into no theories or anything. I'm just going by how I felt. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe that I was in America.
Somehow you and your family ended up in Arkansas, and you all were reunited. Your mom was released from the hospital, and somehow all of you ended up together in Arkansas. What has life been like for you?
Well, for one thing, and a lot of families were separated, I made sure that it was not going to separate us. No. If you don't have room for all of us, we're not going to take it. We're going to stick together. That we did. I ran into some wonderful people here. I wouldn't trade it. Actually, I was trying not to stay here.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to go to Texas.
I was going to Texas with all our people.
But you ended up in Arkansas.
Slept at the airport because I was going to buy tickets for everybody to go to Texas. And I wound up sleeping at the airport. I said, when am I going to ever get in a bed?
Because it had been a long time.
It is same clothes.
Same clothes?
Same clothes. Because when they took us, we didn't go rush to go get clothes. They were still trying to process us and put us where they thought, you know, we should go. So we stood at Fort Chaffee Base Station. It was nice. It was nice and sleeping outside, you know.
Sure.
Then we wound up in Mena, some Girl Scout stuff.
Mena, Arkansas.
And from there, I met a great family, and they took me under their wing and got my first apartment. Was in West Little Rock. And got my mother together, sent for her. She was in Shreveport. And we just been living. No, I'm going to change that. We've been existing.
Still.
Existing. We're just here.
And we'll be right back. Special edition of the Village Celebration Radio Show. Our guest tonight is Kim Cartridge, who is a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. So you found your mother, who was in the hospital at the time of the storm. She was in Shreveport. You and your family were in Arkansas. And somehow you got everyone back together. But even now, life is still
hard. Depressing. Mm. Anxiety. Paranoid.
That another storm is going to happen.
Not that. It's just, you know, about anything. About anything. You know, even when we was first here and the alarms go off on a Wednesday at 12 o'clock.
Tornado checks.
You know, and we had to get used to that. And when it happened, it kind of just sparked something in you. And, you know, your adrenaline kind of like run, you know. And then where I'm staying at, we have the fire. Fire alarm goes off, and it panics me. And the first thing I think about, how I'm going to get my mother out, and it's, yeah.
Post-traumatic stress?
Yes. You know, that's what they say we have. So what you do about that? Go to counseling, take medication. That's the first thing they want to give you. But how can you erase all those memories out? Unless I get hypnotized and they say it never exists, that's the only way. You know, when people say get over it, how can I get over it when I'm here and I'm going up the hills in Arkansas and I say, what am I doing here?
I know how I got here,
but wow. And then it's like, man, life can really throw you some punches. You know, my mother is originally from Havana, Cuba. And my mother came to New Orleans to live with my father, who was American. My mother grieved, I think to the day she died, that she could never go back home to Cuba. We never understood that. We never understood her grieving and her being depressed. But it's like God say, I'm going to put you in her shoes so you can see it. I don't know, I don't want to say God, but it's just so ironic that all of her five children experienced what she experienced. So now we here, even though we could go back home, home is there, 8 hours away, but it's just the traumatic experience that we went through, that we are longing for home. And yes, we are depressed. Now, do I want to go back? No. It's too many bad memories. I don't trust the people who is over our mayor and governor. I don't trust our country. I might be saying some harsh words. I don't trust our country because the way we was treated to say we are American citizen, it did not show.
Just one lie. Just one line before the fatal end. Just once here on this earth is a lifetime, and then trouble no more.
Joining us for the Village Celebration and our special edition tonight dedicated to the survivors of Hurricane Katrina. When we hear the word survivor, we automatically know that in order to survive any type of crisis or trial, it calls for great resilience, an inner fortitude that many times those who are enduring didn't know they had prior to the trial. As we heard tonight, in that moment of distress, in the middle of the crucible, those who make it through find extra strength. Many and most rely on God. Others turn to family and friends. But they also must look within to find a reason, a purpose, that special something that just won't let them quit. So we pay tribute tonight to all those who watched their lives wash away in a different direction 10 years ago in New Orleans. And if you find yourself in the midst of your own personal trial, your own hurricane, may you find that extra something that just won't let you quit. I'm Vicki Newton for the Village Celebration.
Think about the years that you have wasted. Make life seem out of place. So hard to face, just one
One time you're born, just one time to live on. Long after you're gone, memories of you will live long. Hearts are torn in scorn, someone else is born. Just one, just one life, and that's the lifetime. Oh, just one, just one life, just one life, just one life, then you're gone. Just one life.